Okay, welcome everyone to the Arizona State Hospital Independent Oversight Committee. It is June 17th at 6:02, and we have made quorum. We have Natalie, Leon, Ashley, Kim, and myself. Those are the members that are present. We have Dee, Melissa, and Barb that are absent. Okay, so has everyone had a chance to review our meeting minutes from last time? Do I have a motion to approve? And for the units that are on, could the units mute until it's public comment? So how did the minutes look to everyone?
I motion to approve the minutes. This is Leon.
Okay, Leon, do I hear a second? Okay, thank you, Ashley. Okay, with that, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, anyone disapprove? Okay, so moved, our meeting minutes are passed. So next we have updates from ADOA. So Larry, it's all yours.
All right, thanks for having me, Lori. Couple updates for the group. I have filed the annual report for the IOCs. I have forwarded that over to Lori, and I don't know, Lori, if you had a chance to forward that over to your committee or not, but if you haven't, I post the reports on the IOC website, and I will post a link in the chat for you guys. It's under publications, and then hover your mouse over the publications, and you'll see annual reports. Click on that, and it'll bring you right to last year's report and then this year's report. So, sorry about that. My dog is, somebody drove up, but, so I've got the report posted and filed. Your IOC guidelines that Lori was working hard on and getting those updated in the committee. We talked about that at the last meeting. I posted that up for public comment for the past 30 days. We did receive some feedback from ASH administration on what they would like changed. Lori and I have talked about that. We took their comments into consideration. We moved forward with the guidelines. And Lori, I will get those up to you for you to review before I get that over to Director Tobin's desk. So that way you'll have a chance to review those to ensure that you agree with those as well.
Okay. So, we all worked on it was a team effort to work on the bylaws, and some of the main key points were, because we don't have a lot of people that want to volunteer, because this does take a lot of time. It's hard topics sometimes to do, and patient visits do take time. We reduced it to only one meeting. If you are interested, you could apply and join. And I think ASH administration had pushed back on a few of the things, the length of terms, and also our that we needed more sufficient evidence to ask for an investigation. But I said it was like a catch-22. If we can't ask for information, how do we know if we, So we kind of rejected those, believing that we wouldn't have the independence if we had to get permission to investigate, and we couldn't get the information because we couldn't investigate. So that's why I hope you guys agree. That's why I said, we were not open to a lot of their suggestions.
Yeah. So I'll get that over to you, Lori, so you can take a look at that. And once I get your final blessing, I will get that over to Director Tobin for his signature. And then I'm going to revamp our website and post that next to where we normally put your agendas and minutes. I'm going to put your guidelines in on your page. So that way everything will be in one spot for you. And then phase two would be to revamp the website and make it a little bit more user-friendly to find little stuff a little quicker, easier to find, that sort of thing. So, and the last update I had for y'all would be the year end's coming up here June 30th. State fiscal year is June 30th. IOC annual reports are on track for the fiscal year. So annual reports will be due, I know. That's what Lori's face is like, what? So we need to get back first.
We got ours done like almost immediately.
Yeah, you guys were awesome, and you guys got your report cranked out really quick and put a nice detailed report together. So I'll just need to have that final report sometime mid to late August, if that's possible. That'll give you roughly 2 months to get it done. I know we're all busy, and you guys volunteer your time too on top of that. So, and your time is valuable. So I want to try to give you plenty of notice so that way you can work on it here and there, and then get it finished by sometime at the end of the August. So that'll give me time to roll it up and get it over to Director Tobin for his signature, and then get it filed with Representative Bowers and get that filed at the governor's office. And I got to have that filed with them by November 1st. So it gives me time to put it all together, roll it all up, and get it out. So, I think that's all I had as far as updates go on my end from what I've been doing for the IOCs. I know we had one escalation issue that we've been talking about for quite a while now. And I don't have an update for the group yet on that. I know that Director Tobin and I, we've talked about that, and we discussed the issue. He's aware of the issue. So we're, hopefully I will have an answer for you guys here in the next couple of weeks, in that regards. So I shall, it's on the center of my plate right now, so I should have an answer for you soon.
So the catch 22
there is that, you know, ASH is not complying with the statute. So they are doing everything that they're supposed to be doing in regards to the statute. So what we're asking is above and beyond that. So that's kind of where that's kind of the sticking point. So we're working towards that and try to have some resolution to that issue for you guys, hopefully really soon.
Okay, and Dr. Potts couldn't join tonight because this coincides with his psychiatric association. I was at his meeting last night, and basically, you know, all the IOC members are invited to the other IOCs. They are concerned also because they found that once their agency was, once ADOA took over as a third party uninterested third party helping manage the relationships between the IOCs and the agencies that they oversight, their relationship has gotten really much better, and they've worked through some issues that have been long standing. So they're very concerned that our agency doesn't attend our meetings. So they're willing to sign on to a letter if this escalation fails to detect to Director Tobin, to the Director of Health Services, Dr. Crist, and to the governor. So we have their support if we'd like to do that if this isn't productive.
Yeah, I mean, the relationship with Access and the IOCs that they represent has been wonderful. And they go above and beyond and really help the committee avoid the potholes. In the past, they would just kind of step back and just kind of let them kind of navigate the waters themselves. Now they're a great partner with ADOA and with the IOCs. And, so. That's our goal, Lori, is to get there. So we're not far.
I think on an individual level, like when I reach out, the server was a mess today, and I couldn't get in. and Frederica and CJ and Lisa Wynn, they all jumped in and they said that people are having trouble, so you get locked out of, and I couldn't get any of the reports, so I had to kind of speed read through, you know, 119 incidents and accidents and seclusion reports and everything in a compressed time frame. But the individuals, when you reach out, they do help, but it would be so much more productive to have them at the meeting to answer questions as they come up. And that way other committee members could ask them the questions instead of having this written down, sent to them, wait a month, send it back.
Right, all the back and forth be eliminated.
Yeah.
Or most of it will. So, yeah, I agree. So, yeah, but that's all the updates I have from on my end, Lori. Okay, any other questions, I'll be happy to answer, or any other concerns, I'd be happy to look into it for you.
Okay. So the next section is other IOCs, and I don't think Jack had anything for us. I'm getting some feedback. Do we see where that's coming from? Okay, I'll try again.
It looks like it's the number that ends in 3-1 has a little bit of feedback.
Maybe so. I'm going to go ahead and mute them and see.
Okay. So we got the response back from Ash administration on the, we were asking what their hypothesis was on why their restraints are higher than the national average as compared to other hospitals. What is the plan to reduce the number of restraints? And basically, there are some positive, there's positive hopes on the horizon. There are a number of variables which contribute to the differences between our or ASH's data restraints and the other hospitals. They include, but they're not limited to, differences in patient demographics, robustness of data collection, reporting, patient admissions, transfers, and discharges. And they're using restraints to prevent harm to patients and staff and focus on the dignity of the patient throughout the process while explaining to the patient why the restraint is necessary, working with them to end it as soon as possible. The leadership reviews it daily along with seclusion. Overall trends are evaluated as well as individuals with high utilization of restraints. Because they're correlated with assaults, the efforts are to reduce the restraints are tied with the assault reduction efforts, and they're employing several methods to try and do that. One of which was that they're starting, let me look at my notes, they are starting with a meeting, a cross-functional team on July 20th to reduction in assault mechanical restraints, and what they're going to focus on are those problem behaviors, whether they're self-harm or those difficult, violent behaviors, and see if they can address those. So let's hope that that is successful. And again, as everyone saw last month, our the mechanical restraints were really quite high. It was normalized, and we were at like almost a 13, where the average was, let me make that bigger. The average mechanical restraint was 5.54, and we were at 12.99. And that was incidents per 100,000. Incidents per 1,000. Next one was seclusion and restraints, and ASH was at 4.03. Average was 3.08. And physical restraint, ASH was at 6.91 with average at 4.53. So that is an area that they do want to improve. Any questions from the committee members on that?
Hey, Lori, I'm having a really difficult time understanding you. I don't know if anybody else is. It's like really muffled on at least that's how I hear it.
Anyone else?
No, you sound okay.
Hmm. I'll try to speak louder, Leon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so that was, so at least it's a cross-functional team. We hope it is successful because that's something that I think was brought up in the governance committee as well, is something that they needed to work on. And I will give you an update from the governance as soon as I finish this. So the second thing was we asked for a visit and photos of the seclusion separation room. And we want another option to see it because they said, no, we couldn't visit one and we couldn't see the drawings. Basically, they said the space being used was designed for administrative separation. As indicated to their other responses regarding this request, other units do not have this administrative separation, and as such, do not have similar setup for this use. The area established, they're saying it's a two-bedroom, two-bathroom hallway and additional room for the patient to be move about and not feel constrained. So they are continued requests for information or inspection of that space. They assume it's based on the patient rights, but they want us, they're unclear what they're violating. What are we claiming is a rights violation? Absent a specific concern regarding the physical space used for the separation and related standard by which the physical space would be evaluated, they're unable to provide additional information to us. It's concerning to them that we keep bringing up this administrative separation. While the only patient attends our meetings by teleconference, there's no way to de-identify. Well, as I indicated today to administration, I don't know how many patients are in administrative separation. You know, I know because one calls in and tells me they are, right? And, you know, I think as a committee, we've had concerns. And I think the patient sent to the committee their treatment plan. Their treatment plan had them staying in each stage for, what was it, minimum of 3 months. And as we calculated out the stages, he'd be in there for, or the person would be in there for 18 months to 2 years. And we felt that that was a human rights violation.
Not really like a temporary thing as it's intended to be.
So you hear the complaint from administration. When I talked today, I said, if you could just tell us the spaces they're in and provide us some idea that they're being treated and they have human contact, maybe we wouldn't be as concerned. But if we see, if we hear from the patient in public comment that they don't see human contact and some they don't see daylight and they eat with their hands, that's concerning to us. And I think it is a human rights violation. So I mean, committee members, speak up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have identified what human rights violations we think about issue. And I feel like it'd be as simple as like just giving, like you asked today, just giving some indication of what's going on. But I don't know that there's any way for us to de-identify. I mean, we're certainly not using names or anything. So those are my 2 cents.
Thank you, Ashley. I mean, I think, what I said today when I had read the response, and my response was, if you would give us some information, maybe we'd stop asking, you know, but we're going to continue to ask until we understand why this person is potentially isolated for potentially up to 2 years. The other thing I mentioned, and we'll have it next month, that Melissa brought up is that the architects, a new worldwide architect standard she mentioned to us, is that they are no longer allowed to design, architects design for a space intended for isolation for more than X amount of time. So now there's a new national standard for architects, and she was going to bring that to our next meeting. So, I mean, maybe we ask again, but when we get the detailed information, seeing does this space comply with this new architectural rule?
I think that's a good plan, Lori.
I mean, at this point, I say that, you know, we still really want to see the layout and we really want to understand the plan. I'm sorry if we're being tenacious, but we want to make sure that this person, their allegations are dealt with. So we will continue to address it. I mean, I motion that we use Melissa's information and still request the basic information. Do I hear a second?
I second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so moved. Back to our responses. And this is what's hard. I think if they were at the meeting, we wouldn't have to do it this way. Again, we are asking, please define temporary. And they're saying it's not a permanent restriction imposed by the hospital. They have progression out of it contingent upon the patient meeting clearly defined behavioral goals. And these involve demonstrating the ability to maintain safety towards others, duration of time the patient is in, separation is entirely under their own control, not the hospital's, beyond the minimum length to carry out process of behavioral plan to demonstrate safety, 3 months. The patient currently could have been back in the milieu many months if the patient had followed his reintegration plan. The patient receives ample therapeutic support, which the patient is not currently choosing to fully utilize. And maybe I'm having a senior moment, but when I read the treatment plan that he provided, it was 3 months in each of the stages, unless we just read it wrong. Does anyone recall?
I remember us discussing it and like adding it up, and it was like 18 months is what we got to. So I remember that conversation.
Yeah. So on this one, I'm going to ask for them to clarify. I'd like to motion. Are you saying if the patient demonstrates that in 3 months they could be out, they don't have to go through each step, 3 months of each step? Because what we saw was 3 months of each stage. So I'd like them to clarify that. Do you have a second?
I'll second, Ashley.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? So moved. Okay, we're talking on instant access. Why is the duration of some of the restraints so long? The patients remain in restraints for the time necessary for the patient to be safe for release and must be discontinued at the earliest possible time. And it requires a restraint, requires an order by the behavioral health medical provider and criteria for release. We ask what EFC meant, and it's excessive fluid consumption. When we asked about if the campus is inspected to repair throughout to remedy incidents of patients eating foreign objects, because we saw periods of them eating kind of the same things, they said that it adheres to the licensing rules for Center of Medicare Medicaid Services, Joint Commission standards. So they pass all their inspections, they do environmental rounds by individuals with subject matter expertise to identify safety risks and detail those findings are shared in monthly meetings. When a unit member identifies an area in need of repair, they're expected to submit a report such as the ones the IOC has referenced. And once they submit a report, they review it in the timeliness of completion. They have undergone a number of unannounced on-site surveys over the past years, and the findings reflect a high level of compliance with physical plant standards. So the ones we're finding, for the patients we're finding, it's one-offs, I guess. This next one, we talked about, you're curious if there was a work order about the cabinet. And basically it was the laminates that are peeling off in patients that have the propensity to ingest. And they said that they've been instructed to contact facilities whenever they find loose laminate materials so they can be sealed with appropriate sealing agents. And to reduce it, they'll be removed until the items can be, this will help reduce the hazard potential unit. Items can be replaced, which is cost prohibitive. They continue to be sealed and affixed as identified. The next one was kind of a big deal on both our part and on Ash administration. So originally, when Ashley went to investigate a video of an incident, and Ashley, was that how many months ago? 6 months ago? Maybe 8 months ago? It was early
when COVID. When I first looked at it, it was August 2020.
Okay. So when Ashley is a trained attorney used to viewing videos, so we had utmost faith in her viewing the video. And, you know, Ashley's questions were more concerning. Who is that person? Who's that walking there? Is that a staff? Is that a patient, since they're not in uniform? And after much discussion, we decided we would go back, three of us, to view the video again, because there was concern over the right before the incident occurred. So Ashley, Melissa, and myself went to view the video. And during the second viewing time, do you want to describe it, Ashley, so I don't have to talk so much?
Yeah, sure. So the first video had the patient sitting at like a phone booth. Someone had walked by. It looked like maybe instigated something. It's very unclear. There's no audio. And then this kind of altercation happens. When we went back and viewed it, and I guess I just want to be clear that the first time I viewed the video and the second time we all three viewed the video, I don't believe it substantiated what the patient is saying happened. And so that's, you know, that's in the Ash's response. It says, I think there's a quote for me, what we heard the patient say versus what I saw a year ago is different. And what I meant by that is the video doesn't substantiate, either video doesn't substantiate what the patient is saying happened. At any rate, it doesn't negate the fact that the video we saw a few months ago, the three of us, had been shortened. And we did ask why it was shortened. And Laura, you can correct me if I'm mistaken, but we did, all three of us, inquire. I mean, I was the only one who had knowledge because I'm the only one who saw the first video, but we did ask about it. And I think the response was, this is just the portion that was kept.
Yeah.
So the Ash's response, I think seems to imply that we were claiming that they willfully got rid of that portion of the video. I mean, that wasn't my intent in bringing it up. I don't know. I don't have any knowledge of like what the reason was for the shortened video. So.
And the discussion today, Ashley, I told them, I said, all three of us, I think when we were in there, you asked, can we go back to see it when he was seated over the side in that kind of the tall chair phone area? And he said to us, I'm sorry, this is all we have. This is all we kept. And we said, well, can't we see it? Do you have another view, another camera view? Do you have anything? And he said, no, this is all we have. So when I talked today, I said, you know, we weren't trying to say you're destroying it, but that's what the guy told us. And all three of us asked, you know, we wanted to just see the incident. I agree with Ashley. We did not see, what we did see didn't substantiate the claims that the patient had, but that doesn't negate the fact that there was a misinterpretation of, we just wanted to know why we couldn't see the whole video. And
then what happened?
And they say they always save the video. They did not tamper with the video. This is the whole video. And I said, well, I actually saw the person in a chair. So I said, you know, unless you want to have a conversation with Ashley, who actually saw it and is trained to look at these videos.
The patient was sitting in the phone booth, without a doubt. I'm confident I saw that the first time.
I don't know.
I mean, I didn't make that up.
I know.
But the video we saw last time starts after the patient got up from the video. Or got up, not from the video, I'm sorry, got up from the phone booth. So
what I asked today, I said, I have complete faith in Ashley and her ability. It matches what the patient told us also. And she saw it. I mean, she wouldn't make up who was that person that walked by if she hadn't seen that. I said, can you guys go back and rewatch the video again and see if maybe there's another angle that shows that? I mean, I think the case of the allegation is, we agree with the hospital, but I hate to, you know, we want to know why we can't see the original video. So we did discuss it, and they say it is the same one, and, you know, we're saying no, it isn't, because it's missing a key point. So where do we go from here? Ashley, as our lawyer, as legal counsel, you're not a lawyer for the IOC, but what do you think?
So do they say that they would go back and watch it, or do we need to ask again? What was your conversation today?
I said we weren't trying to say you're tampering with videos, but when we asked the guy, he said that's all you kept. So, you know, that's why we were asking. They said, well, when we heard the tape of the last meeting, and this is kind of the dysfunction of them not being at a meeting, they went back and said they went back and viewed it, and that's the same tape that they always had. And they said that they often, you know, and I understand this, it's arbitrary where you say an incident started. Did it start 2 days ago when they were talking, or, you know, but this incident and what you had seen clearly included the patient sitting in the phone booth, and now it doesn't. So I said, well, maybe you could go back and look at it again and look at all the camera views and talk to the security guy that was in the room, because we all did ask him. And maybe they could do it. So I guess we could ask them to review it again.
Yeah, I'll make that motion, or I'll second it, Lori, either way. I think that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you motion, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, other than that, next one was grievances. Again, you know, we are also asking about, this one was really disturbing, and they did write back this grievance, and we've heard it now from, we heard it from a patient last weekend too, Ashley and I, or a few days ago, whenever it was, but patients say they're getting retaliated against, and also, we think it's a violation of human rights that staff is watching people toilet and undress when not necessary. And we want to know why they're doing that. Why are they watching people toileting or undressing? And they said they're aware of the forensic claim regarding retaliation. During the forum, patients have verbalized that they rarely win grievances. The grievance process is not a mechanism to amend hospital rules or regulations for the satisfaction of each patient, but to protect the rights of the patients deemed have serious mental illness in accord with the stipulation. The grievance process was established to ensure fair and thorough review of each patient's case prior to making a decision. Patients who want to appeal have the right to do so. She may not substantiate a rights violation, but the grievance and appeal committee may still make recommendations to other ASH departments to consider other aspects of the patient's concern. Now, during medical administration, the patients are told they will not be able to use a restroom for 30 minutes. Patients are given notice so that they may use the restroom prior to receiving medications. If for any reason a patient insists on using the restroom within 30 minutes, staff provides as much privacy, but they're going to rule out disposal of oral meds. Patients on continuous observation for safety also have to have the patient staff present at all times, and they make every effort to provide as much privacy as possible. They also have been made aware of one complaint to the website, ILC website, which was submitted by a community member on behalf of a patient. Matter has been investigated and was unsubstantiated. I think our concern was, and we asked the patient, we've heard now a couple times, I'm watching toileting, but I said in the morning they have to be out of their dorms at 7:30, and it's been stated that that's pretty early, and sometimes they're not through with all of their needs. And if they're in waiting for meds and it takes a while to get everyone their meds, and they have to go to the restroom before they take their meds, why did they watch them? I mean, they're not going to get rid of meds they haven't gotten yet, so give them privacy then. But we were told that from the patient that they watch them anytime after that dorm lock. And you'll hear later in a patient visit, Ashley and I did, that the patient is alleging kind of retaliation against religious rights, worshiping against another patient of their same religion. And after they worshiped in their same manner, they were restricted to unit, they were watched while toileting. And I gave Ash a heads up that we were going to discuss this patient visit, and that was concerning, and we thought it was going to be concerning to the committee members as well. So what do you think about the explanation on why we watch, or why they have to watch the patient's toilet? So do you agree that it's okay if it's after the patients take their meds within that 30-minute time frame? And if they're on one-on-one observation?
That's the protocol at the residential facility that I work at, and it is, it's a med concern. Mm-hmm. And, it being tied to retaliation is different. Yeah. I would just like to make sure that it's consistent. That's like their medication procedure and has nothing to do with anything else.
Okay. So
I was just going to say, I mean, I know about med procedures and like that kind of facility, but it sounds reasonable to me because as long as there's no change in the procedure because of some retaliation claim. So I agree.
Okay. And we can go over in our patient visits and you can hear that. I think the last one was the fact that a patient wants, they have a grievance and they want to know, we're wanting to know why they're not providing medical materials, test strips to go with their machine. And basically the hospital is not providing the device to minimize patient requests, and the hospital is providing a machine to minimize finger sticks for the patient. No other patient at the hospital has, is using that device, and they refuse to wear the sensor half the time. They're continuing to request alternate test strips to those used by the hospital. When the sensor indicates the patient, the readings are high, they're usually refusing the retest. So they're not being provided because they'll not provide the highest quality of care for the patient. The test strips requested would require the same feedback procedure as the hospital strips, but their use cannot be calibrated by the hospital. So they're saying that they need the calibration, and if the non-prick sensor indicates high, they have to follow up with a known procedure, which I think sounds reasonable. Okay, so that's all from their responses. Now I'll give you some quick updates from the governance, from the medical examiner. I'm going to speak louder for you, Leroy. Okay. I'm making it even higher, too. So they're steadily accepting new patients for admission as applications come in from the community, and their discharges are starting to pick up as well. They're accepting the vast majority of applications. Also from the CMO, they're continuing to provide approximately 90 to 100 groups per month across the civil units, and those are group therapies. Individual therapies are being provided on both civil and forensic upon referral. Right now, 25 civil, 40 forensic are currently receiving individual. There is a one doctor that's continuing to head a new alternatives to restricted to unit. It's a subcommittee of the Assault Reduction Task Force. They're exploring ideas for changing ways of restriction to unit, the way they're implemented, and patients are engaged in maladaptive behaviors. Forensic and civil admissions slash discharges, where admissions were 13, discharges were 8. This is all public record from the governance meeting I attended. And they're continuing to use Google Meets to allow the public fiduciary and family and guardians and outpatient teams to see and visit and virtually participate in IDTP. So, you know, we've heard in the past that some members feel that they don't have adequate time in individual treatment team meetings and they're not being listened to. And then we've also heard from a committee member that's not here this time that their input was considered as of late, and that was a few meetings ago. And she is not guardian, I don't believe she is, but her input's being taken. Next, from CNO Nursing, vaccination rates for the patients is really at a high compared to even our public. It's at 80%, which is great for the patient population. I'm very
those
happy
are the
about
rates for, what is that, Lori? Those are the rates for what? I missed the word.
COVID vaccination.
Oh, good. Vaccination. Thank you.
Yeah. And direct care vacancies are down under 20%. So that's good. They still have vacancies, and the CEO report talked about that. So the hospital has 260 beds that are funded, 117 on the civil campus and 143 on the forensic campus. The average daily census is attached in more detail, but it hovers around 212, which to me, I'm like, okay, I can do the math. We have a lot of empty beds, and we have one state hospital, and we have a lot of sick people in the state, and that's frustrating. So I thought I'd share that with you guys. There is, and it passed last year, SMI Transition Housing Project, and Access, ADOA, and ASH had several meetings on the project. It's a transitional housing, and originally I think it was going to be, they were doing RFPs for Birch Hall for transitional housing, but now they're saying they're not going to use Birch they're going to build a new building on the southwest corner of Bauer Park. You know, Ash has all that land. So they're waiting for RFPs to come in and proposals to come in for someone to build that on Bauer Park. They're trying out, or they're going to try out a new medication variant adverse reaction tracking tool, which will be a tablet. The number of full-time employees of Ash is 742. It does not include registry staff or contractors, food services, housekeeping, facilities, and pharmacy. The number of state employees when the report was created was 678. 670 full-time and 8 pool. So that's that. There also was a discussion of the buildings that are on the facility that are the Department of Corrections that they rent from Ash. The monies from those buildings, the 3 buildings, provides money for small improvements. And I think Barb and I were on campus, and then Melissa and I were on campus for the forums, and they're putting turf in and are putting shading in. They redid a spot, and they have a really cool little chapel now on the Sybil campus, so that's nice. So that's where the money's coming from. And that is it from Ash updates. So let's see where we are. You heard about the COVID status with the vaccination incident and accident. We didn't have many. We had a lot of incident and accident, a lot of assaults, a lot of patient on patient, a lot of patient on staff. On this one, Natalie and I don't have too many to report. It's 2021-16-14. It was patient on patient attack, and the patient did catch the other patient off guard, and there was a split lip, and I'm trying to think if this is one with a cracked tooth also, but they went over to, you know, they tried to stop the bleeding, and they sent them over to Valleywise immediately to get stitched up. So I'm glad that it was prompt medical attention to stop the bleeding, calm it down the patient, and send them over for care. In relation to that same incident, it's 2021-16-64. This, the first one was on the first of the month. This is the third of the month. And at this point, a patient, I assume it was the one that was punching, has a swollen hand resulting from the altercation on the pier. So they did take them to the hospital to remedy that. But it was 2 days later, so I'm not sure whether it was it didn't hurt for a while or it just started to swell, or that's when they complained. But there was a delay, so I was just, that caught my eye. Let me see, a few others. So I wanted to ask, did it take that long because the patient didn't complain? You didn't see any signs of a swollen hand or injury? That's what I assume, but since they're not here, I guess we could vote on it and ask them for next month. Is anyone interested?
If you motion, I'll second it, and I'll add on there.
Okay. I'll motion to ask why there was a delay. Was that the fact that they didn't notice it, A? B, the patient didn't complain until a couple days later.
Great. Okay. I second.
Okay. The next one was patient on patient, and there have been a lot of assaults, but this one, the patient grabs the headphones and then falls to the floor. But there was clarification that it was the headphones that fell to the floor, not the patient.
What was the number of this one, Lori?
That was 1721.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I was grateful for the clarification by the person that reviewed it, that they clarified that. Otherwise, we think it could have been worse. The next one is 1799, and it was a patient ingesting 8 pieces of metal and then having to go to the hospital. So he was sent over to the hospital to make sure that that was taken care of. And I think this is our last one. It was another, a lot of the self-harming, we're seeing those behaviors. This patient was threatening themselves and ate a part of a shoe. So they were being, this one was threatening their roommate with a shoe. And the staff immediately offered to move that patient into a different room with a different roommate. The patient doesn't want to move because they don't want to move because they felt that they were the ones being threatened. The other person should move. So we see this a lot. And last time we've asked about why move kind of the victim, why not move the perpetrator? They've explained that they're trying to deal with the dynamics of personalities on all the units. So sometimes they can't move the other unit to a place because maybe they moved them off that unit.
What was the number of that one, the last one with the shoe?
That one was 1944.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now as far as, remember I got all this really late because I was locked out of the portal. I was looking through the seclusion and restraint report, the dashboard, which is a really nice one that they've done for us. And I was only scanning for times that were greater than 100 minutes. So we do have, it seems like there are a few number of patients that tend to be represented in these. And I had one patient, we have one patient that has 176 minutes. Then that same, since we get it in a format, I can't pivot it and tell you, I just see a lot of the same patient numbers. But we have numbers like, you know, 176, 118, 208, 109, 167, 186, 119. This is what drives up their numbers, 171. And sometimes it's the same patient continuing from one day to the next day, 116. Then the following day, they had 387 minutes. 257, 167, but they're a small group of patients that are having either self-harm or behaviors that aren't de-escalating. 178, just those really high numbers. 272, encourage that they're going to try something different to get this down. Again, same, another patient, 208, 373, 425 minutes. But again, sometimes seclusion is better than keeping patients in the mix if they're really aggressive. We're seeing a lot of those patient-on-patient, patient-on-staff attacks, some of them out of the blue. I wish we could get them, all the patients, their own iPads like they do in the jails and prisons. That seems to really help. You know, we've mentioned those educational iPads that the hospital, it wasn't their focus at the time. So let's move on to virtual visits. So for those that were on during the visits, Ashley, do you want to talk about what you heard?
Yeah, I can start since I have to go soon. So we talked to the patient who had three main complaints. The first was being assaulted by a nurse, which the patient said was under investigation. It sounds like that nurse was moved off the unit, so at least that part was handled. There was a restraint used. The patient was put in seclusion for an hour, and there was a chemical restraint. It's my understanding the hospital is reviewing the footage. So I don't know that we have any motion to be made with that first thing, because it looks like they're dealing with it, but maybe that patient can let us know how it went, or we can follow up and see if there's anything we need to do. The second was about animals. Lori, did you have anything to add? Did I miss anything on that first thing from that patient?
From that one, what we found, what was troubling was that generally they call a code, or they when they think someone's going to be harmed, right? When they think a patient is self-harming to the point that they're going to be harmed or they're going to harm someone else, that's when you call a code. This, as he reported, and I think they're looking into it, and I know they're reviewing the behavior of that staff that did assault him, but he wanted to get water because something that he had had mold in it, and he just wanted water. And he asked a tech if he could walk over and get water for his water bottle or container because he was thirsty. And the nurse or someone, or the nurse said they were too busy to give him more water, and they ordered the tech to stop helping him. And then threatened to call a code because she didn't like what he had to say about that feedback. But to me, that doesn't warrant calling a code. And this poor patient then gets a code called and then gets put in, you know, kind of restrained, and then gets a chemical injection because he wanted water, and he got mad because they said no and he said something nasty. To me, yeah. It doesn't warrant calling a code. So I think they need to look at, one, they shouldn't have called a code. Two, the nurse that assaulted him has been moved off the unit. And the person that assaulted has been moved off the unit. And the other person that's still on the unit has been nicer to him after that point or something. But I still think we need to ask about that, because why call a code because you don't like the way someone's talking? I don't think it's right.
I think, yeah, it was just words. I think the chemical restraint portion of it was the most troubling to me. In terms of like viewing footage or trying to figure out what happened, I think we put that on hold. But I would agree about the maybe asking why the code was called and why there was a chemical restraint used, because according to the patient was not physically aggressive whatsoever. So I'll make that motion if anyone wants a second.
Okay, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so moved. Okay, go on, Ashley.
The second was about animals, specifically service animals. And I know, I guess about a year ago, Dee had found some information, a local entity that did animal-assisted therapy, and I believe that was presented to the hospital. This patient has a service animal. Whoever's talking, can you please mute?
You're good.
I think that the other thing that I found on that one was that I think they said that they did not have any, they would have provided therapy, but the CEO and CMO said that they were unaware of anyone to do it. So I right. forwarded them, I re-forwarded them all the information that he had found, the agency that they found to do it, that said, we volunteer to come in. And I said, please make sure this gets to the CMO and the CEO. And I forwarded it, and they thanked me for the information. So now they have the information. So I think I'd like to ask for a follow-up now that they have a volunteer organization to provide pet therapy. Will they? Will they permit that in?
Yeah, I agree.
So do we have a second?
I'll second.
Oh. Okay.
Or Natalie,
all
whoever.
Okay. Aye. Okay. So moved. Okay. Go on, Ashley. You're doing great.
Okay. Last one, and then I got to run. So Ash started in-person visits. The patient signed up on middle of May for a food and minor visit because the individuals that are watching the patient's service dog are also watching a grandchild who's underage. And the patient found out, I think like 2 days before that the visit was, or maybe 3 days before that the visit was denied. The patient says the reason was because service dogs aren't allowed on the hospital grounds and never have been. That was kind of the basis of that one.
And I think he felt, too, that he wasn't asking. You know, he has a separate, I think the patient that has the...
One more time, first, sorry, Bobby. They just want to verify.
We have someone that's come. Hey, Chuck, can you go outside and talk to him? Sorry. Well, small condo here in California. That he said he wanted to visit in a common area, one, to make sure his dog still knows the commands, and two, he wasn't asking that the dog come onto the unit. That's a separate track, and it's going on based on whether they'll allow service animals living with the patients. So he just felt it was abrupt and uncalled for, and if they wanted to just say, don't bring the dog, but they canceled this whole visit. So he was very upset. And we wanted to know if, I think, why couldn't they allow a visit in the visitor area, not the patient area? Do you guys think we should ask?
I do, Ashley.
Take the double move off, and thank you.
Sorry.
Sorry, thank you. No problem. Thank you. Sorry,
okay. Okay. Do we have a second?
I second. This is Leon.
Okay. All in favor? Okay. So moved.
Aye.
Thank you. And then, you know, he felt that he has... visits have been refused, and now he has nothing in writing. He thinks he's designated SMI and has rights as someone with SMI and wants to know, he wants a reason. And the only other one, I'm not sure, were you on the call with me, Ashley, on the religious not being allowed to worship in their manner? Or was that Melissa?
Well, we did talk a little bit about religion and ours, but it was the religious ceremony that the patient wanted to have with the service animal. So that might have been Melissa.
Okay. So for that one, what I can tell you, let me make it a little bit bigger because I have a second monitor. This person prays in a manner consistent with their religion, and they cannot pray in the hallways, so they asked them to pray in the kitchen. The kitchen's dirty. They said after they filed a grievance on them not being able to pray in a manner that was consistent with their religion, then they were meds. They had their meds changed out of the blue, you know, and they'd never been in trouble or anything else. They're just trying to adhere to their religious worshiping. In addition, they have another member that wanted to pray with them, and when the member started praying with them, then they started restricting the person, watching the person toilet and shower. They also said they're not letting them talk to their lawyers. The person's trying to figure out a better way that they can, a better place to pray. It just was very sad that all they're trying to, they're not asking for a lot. They just want to pray in a manner that supports their religion, and they don't want to be discriminated against while doing that. So, you know, we felt that that's something that, that we should support. It's a human right to be able to pray in a manner. Now, I don't know if I suggested it or not. I was wondering if they could go to the chapel area.
Yeah, that's an option. We had this issue at my facility again, and you know, we couldn't have them praying in the hallways because the traffic is an issue, and so the option is to consider the library, or like you said, a chapel would be a good idea. So it seems like there should be more solutions than they're being offered.
Okay. And so I like to ask them if they could provide another place that's not dirty, like the library or a chapel. That's one. And two, we'd like to understand, was the person that was trying to pray with this person then stripped of their privileges, restricted to unit, and then on one-on-one observation? But is that correlated to the religion thing, or did something else happen that caused restricted to unit and one-on-one observation?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? So moved. So I think that was all the patient that we also visited with another gentleman. And it was interesting because this person files a lot of grievances. I think they file 15 grievances in a day, and they were moved to another unit. And they're very relieved because the unit they moved to them functions and meets their needs much better. The person tended to be, when we spoke to them, I have a lot over the years, and he had gotten, like, he had lost hope. And it was really, really heartbreaking, almost like he wanted to cry every time we talked to him. And now he's seeming hopeful, and he's like, I have friends again, I can talk. I don't feel the staff is out to get me over here. So I think it's a win-win, you know, for him. You know, as I said, we're very, very happy that this worked out for him. Now, we also had another patient that is soon to be leaving, Ash. And this patient has... is trying to be on their best behavior and has indicated that once they leave the facility, they'd love to sign up and be on the IOC and give us a different perspective. So I said, well, submit your application and good luck on the other side. So he should be leaving in probably 2 months. So that's good. So it's always nice to see someone progress. Another patient asked for a visit, and that couldn't happen. We're still finding, and those that are on the calls, whenever we ask for a patients ask for visits, and the hospital reaches out to me and says, here are the patients that want visits, and we say, okay, we're calling Friday afternoon at 2 or Saturday morning at 9. However long it's going to take to do the visits, double or triple that to get through the operators and the nurses to get to the patient. You know, sometimes we have to explain who we are and what we do. We get lectured on when the phone privilege time is. And I'm like, no, we're not calling as friends. So it is frustrating at times. So those are the patients that we were able to visit this month. Another patient was in therapy when we called, and we did not want to interrupt the therapy, of course. So we said we would call back at another time, at the next time we were doing patient visits. So let me go to my agenda. See where we're at. Okay, that was instant. Virtual visit report. It was interesting. They had asked that they thought by law, people that are in prison and in forensic, they have access to a law library. And they said the law library at Ash is pathetic, that it really has no books. So Ashley, who was actually on the call, asked if they could donate like last year's law library books. And she was going to get back to us, and then we would ask the hospital if they would accept them to kind of build up the law library. And then we also can ask other lawyers we know if they want to donate any law library books. So that was item one. Item two we talked about was the therapy animal visits, the inability to worship, assault by staff, and visits canceled without providing reason. So all of that. Next on our agenda was ASH legislative bills. I think the bills, as far as I've heard, are still in budget purgatory right now. So I don't think anything's moved from what I know, but could be wrong. Hopefully it will move. We also have membership recruitment if you know anyone that wants to join. Any new business that the committee wants to talk about before we go to public comment?
Yes, this is Leon. I have just a small piece.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't at the last meeting. I was in Ohio. I was on vacation. Sorry, I didn't clarify that with you guys, but I wondered, did we ever get any answers about the visitation with animals, with the dogs and all that? Did that ever get sorted out? Did that question ever get answered? I did miss that.
That was brought up not only there, but also at the governance board, that there's a lawsuit, I think by the Center for Disability Law, or one of the agencies that's fighting on behalf of the patient for them to have their animal. But that's going on its own path. The second part was, we said, why can't you have animal visits by providers coming through the hospital like they do at every other hospital? And they said that they would, but there weren't any. And I said, but we sent you all this information. So that's why I re-forwarded all of Dee's hard work to the ASH administration and asked them to please review it. And we can ask for an update. Now that you see that we have a provider, will you be allowing pet therapy visits on campus? So I think that's something we want to ask for next month.
Right. And you said they claim that they never had therapy, animal therapy.
Yeah, but we can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I
can. Can you hear me now? Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Did you say that?
I think that Lori can hear us. It seems like Lori can't hear us. We can hear you, Lori.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that work for you, Leon, asking for next month?
Yes. I just wanted to clarify. Did they say they never had pet therapy visits before? Is that what you said?
No, they said that they did not have any agency that they were aware of that would provide pet therapy on campus. And that's when I said, no, DeKalb was an agency that said they're willing, able, and ready.
Got it. Yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Because, Leon, you said they used to have therapy animals there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, any other new business? Okay, so we are open for public comment. Now remember, when you make your comment, let me know, let Natalie know, who's our wonderful scribe, whether you want your name in the meeting minutes or not. And the other thing, remember, we can listen, but we can't respond. But we hear, and then we write it up, and if it's something that we feel is a human rights violation, we will discuss it on the next agenda.
And we have a 3-minute limit, so I'll be timing it. So if I cut you off, it's just the rules. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, I have to excuse myself. This is Leon. I have to leave just early today. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you, Leon.
Thank you.
Bye, Leon.
Bye-bye.
Anyone from the units?
Hi, Lori. This is Summer. Can you guys all hear me?
Oh, hi, Summer. Yes, we can. Welcome.
Awesome. Hi. I'm sorry. I couldn't figure out the Google Meetup on the laptop, so I just had to dial in.
No. Summer, do you want your name in the notes?
Yes, please. That's okay. Fine.
You want your last name or just Summer?
Yes, that's fine. My first name, Summer, S-O-M-M-E-R. Last name, Walter, W-A-L-T-E-R.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have a brother who is there, Darren Beach, and I'm okay with you using his name if you can, because I'm his legal guardian with Mental Health Authority. He's been there since March 17th, so he's fairly new. But we've really, really been struggling. I've already, I'm waiting just to hear back from the grievance and compliance department so I can file my official complaint and grievance. It's been very rough. The first month he was there, the staff was saying he's amazing, he's going to be discharged soon, and then everything just kind of went crazy. And now he's been moved from one unit from Palo Verde to Ironwood because he's now considered a problem behavior. We had a staffing where I had to bring my attorney as well as a mental health advocate, Deborah Giesling, with me in the attempt to kind of provide input. The meeting lasts maybe 15 minutes because they did not want to have, they didn't want to hear anything I had to say. There was one moment where they asked Darren for his input and he said, you know, I don't want to be who I used to be. I want to change. I want to get better, but I just feel like I'm not doing enough. Like, I feel like I should be doing more. And I just feel like I can't do anything right. And his psychiatrist, who is Dr. Amonte, told him, that sounds like an internal problem to me. And just completely was just disrespectful and condescending and told me, if you have a problem with my treatment, you need to, you know, get in touch with administration, which I did. I sent out a big email to Dr. Bowen, the CMO. The CMO and basically everybody that was on the list in the pamphlet that they'd given me when Darren first arrived. I did receive an email back from the CMO and we are meeting on Monday at 2 p.m. because I'm wanting a change of provider for Darren because this is, it's not working. In 2017, Darren had committed arson during a psychotic break, and it is my understanding that his doctor, his current doctor, has an affiliation with the organization whose building Darren burned down. So I'm wondering about some conflict of interest, and I'm very concerned because Darren went from being great in their eyes to now He's been restricted to the unit. He's lost privileges. He's not allowed to go to some of his classes. And he walked in being very hopeful and even saying, I like this place. Like, it's really nice. To now, he can't wait to leave. He said, why can you get me out of here? Get me out of here. Like, they're awful to me. They're horrible to me. And he's really struggling. And he's, you know, it's awful to see your sibling go from doing really well and for the first time having a level of stability and participation to now he's hopeless. He just doesn't know what to do and doesn't feel like there's anything that he can do. So I'm hoping that our meeting Tuesday will go well.
But I noted okay. What you said. And Lori, I don't know if I'm allowed to use the patient's name in the notes. Am I allowed to put the brother's name, Darren, in the notes or not, Lori? You're muted.
As long as we're not the ones bringing it up, other people can share their personal health information. We don't share.
Okay. So. I can just write what she said. Got it.
Thank you, Summer.
Thank you.
Good luck with your meeting.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I wonder if the units were able to get on tonight. I would think so. They're the 3-1 numbers.
This is Deborah. Can you hear me?
Yes, Deborah.
I was just listening to her and I thought, am I allowed to even share because I was in that staffing, but is that a violation of HIPAA if I share what I observed? Because Summer invited me to that staffing, she mentioned.
I can't respond to you, Deborah, but you're not a healthcare provider. HIPAA is for healthcare providers.
Okay. Well, it's thrown out so much, I kind of get jumpy about it. So,
Deborah, do you want your name in the note?
Sure. My name is Deborah Giesling.
Hi, my name is Isaac Contreras. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Hey, Isaac, can you hold for a sec after Deborah?
Can you go first, and then you can go next.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out how to unmute this.
Okay, well, you got it.
Keep unmuted and listen to Deborah, and then you can go next.
Okay.
I'll be really quick.
No, that's fine. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to support what Summer said because I was there through the whole meeting and observed it, and it was very eye-opening to see Darren communicate that he wanted to change. He was expressing how he felt. He felt that he couldn't measure. It was like he couldn't measure up to all that they were asking him to do, and he was struggling. And for them to turn around and say, well, that's just an internal problem without really trying to work with him. He did request Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. He was requesting help with maybe, I'm not sure what the motive was, but, and they said, well, we don't do that anymore. And he also said that they asked him if he went to anger management class. And he said, yes, I went, but the class was full and I couldn't get in. So I just thought it was very dismissive when he was trying to express what he wanted. And I don't understand why maybe the hospital couldn't look into getting an AA class in there, given that that's all volunteer. You don't have to even pay for that. But I just also was really surprised at how they did not include the guardian. And then just at the end asked her, kind of, you know, do you agree with this treatment plan? And she said no. And that was her only input. And then to be told, well, take that up with administration. And I don't know if Summer mentioned this, and I don't know if I can mention it. I'm going to because it's kind of secondhand, but Summer also was told, not in that meeting, but that because he was placed in ASH by the courts, that trumped her guardianship. And they did not have to include her. So I don't believe that's even legal, but I just wanted noted that that's what she was told. So That's my input. I felt really bad for Darren because I saw genuine kind of reaching out for help, and then for it to just be dismissed like that and say, well, that's your problem. That's not ours. Well, he's the person who has the mental illness. So that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you, Deborah. Okay, Isaac, you can share.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry for interrupting, but
I think with your name in the notes. Sorry, no.
Yes. Isaac Contreras, patient number 35085. I just got a hold. My sister has some documents that kind of is concerning. They were written by a nurse, Jeff Reed. And it was around the month of June or July. And basically, my sister, she didn't read everything to me, but Jeff Reed had written some real ugly notes about me to Dr. Bowen, which were not true. And not only that, I mean, he's retaliated when he comes to work here, and it's in his notes. He denies me to go out or anything. And his name is Jeffrey, and he's a nurse, but I'm not understanding why. I mean, they're allowing this, you know. And second, on the patio, I've been in here 11 months, so excuse me how I'm talking. I've been in here 11 months, and basically, I'm sure you guys seen the videos, my area ain't very big. And I just counted out the length is about 9 feet, and width is about 9 feet as well, or 10 feet. So that's the little space I have, and I have no window. So basically, I'm just trying to figure out is, why does this person have so much of an influence to put me in isolation? Now, another thing is that if the hospital had nothing to hide, they would be up front with everything. Now, luckily, I was able to record several conversations up to, I say, 3 years. And I mean, several conversations. So now it's at the point that when they do lie, I could have them upload the audio and they could hear it, you know, themselves. You know, so that's good. I mean, it would be real helpful if we had audio recording, because it would change a lot, because the way they speak to us, the way they treat us, since I've been in isolation here, I have not had no cold calls, no nothing. And that what I found more weird was my, that Jeffrey Reed, from June to July, he had written nothing but nasty notes about me, which led me to be in here. I have not even got in trouble. I haven't even done anything wrong yet. Anything wrong. And I'm still in here.
I'm sorry, I think we're 3 minutes, but I noted all your concerns.
Okay.
Thank you, Isaac.
Oh, can I get a visit too?
Yeah, we tried to. Oh, I can't respond. Yes.
Okay.
Do we have any other patients? Remember *6 to unmute. I see another unit number on here. So if you would like to speak, *6 to unmute. Anyone from 6-6 or 3-4 or 3-1? I have two 3-1s, which I think are hospital units, calling in. So if you're having trouble, just hit *6. Try to unmute. This is unusual. We usually have what?
If you guys don't mind, am I able to say a little bit more since there's nobody else speaking right now?
We'll give you another minute while they try to unmute. We'll give you a minute while they try to unmute, and then.
Okay, that's fine. As soon as they another thing is, retaliation is one of the biggest thing. I mean, we got the staff members are normal people, and by just moving them to other units, it doesn't help out anything because now they're starting a problem with another patient in another unit. My concern is, Matt, I have not been able to see the sun go down. I have not been able to see the night. I've been deprived. I am being deprived from everything. When I went to patio, they caught a cold gray. Well, no, they didn't call it cold gray, but the staff member was pretty rude, which led to a response, and he automatically charged towards me. So now I'm having trouble with, if I go to patio, I'm not trying to get in trouble. I've been doing my best. I just, this place is not, it's just, it's a cesspool with a bunch of, you got your good employees, but also you got employees that are horrible.
That was one more minute.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Thank you for sharing.
Okay. So the other unit, were you able to unmute *6? Okay, we're going to have a record short meeting then. So, okay, well, thanks, everyone. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
There was a second.
We can't have an animal. We can't have a dog. We can't have a dog barking.
No, I'm crying. I
got to
do it.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, I'll second. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, we are so adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.